Hello, J Train podcast listener. It's me, J Train. I have a new stand-up clip that is out on my YouTube as well as my IGTV. So if you go to my Instagram account or my YouTube account, you can go watch a 6.5 minute stand-up clip from one of my San Francisco shows. It's fun. There's crowd work. There's bits. I want you to go watch and enjoy and share. Tell a friend, comment, like. All of those things that you think aren't really that big of a deal are a huge deal to me. So if you like, comment, let me know that you enjoyed. Let me know what part you thought was funny. Go. It's on my YouTube channel or my Instagram. So go right now, tag a friend, let them know, share it with the group chat, and enjoy. Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast with J Train Jared Free, coming live from the West Village of Manhattan. That's right. Every Monday, we go over your emails, your stories, your questions, and I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how this whole thing works. That's the podcast game, baby. It's word of mouth. You. You're the billboard. And when you tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, it feels good. Oh, it's like I'm walking through a meadow and you're standing beneath me. I'm naked. I'm completely nude. I'm walking through the meadow and you have a little tiny feather and you're miniature. You're just under my nuts, feathering the seam from anus to shaft. You're feathering all the goods. That's what it feels like when you share it with a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, anyone with ears. We'll take the earless community as well. We love everybody. And listen, the podcast, the email address, we want your emails. You know, listen, because, you know, the show is different now. We have Mondays, we have J Train, Thursdays, we have Luxury Lounge. So the emails get split. And I've noticed we're getting tons of Luxury Lounge emails. And they're beautiful people. You're beautiful people. But we need those J Train podcast emails. Your dating, your lifestyle questions, any question you want. We do deal with dating a lot just because that's what gets sent. But if you have a roommate squabble, a friend issue, I love anything related to weddings and bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. So jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. That's jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And before we get to today's guest, I got shows in different area codes, shows. I'm gonna be in Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, the Comedy Club of Kansas City. That's where I'll be doing the funnies. Kansas City. Then I'm coming to Denver, Colorado. Two shows are already sold out. Okay, people. So Kansas City this weekend. Where are you, Kansas City? We're having some trouble. It might be me and the wait staff. Denver. Two shows are sold out already. That's more than a month away. So people. Columbus, I heard a show sold out, the early one. Someone was like, can you get me tickets to the early one? You missed out. You got to go to a different show. Columbus, Newark, Madison, just added. Tampa, just added. La Jolla, San Diego, just added. Nashville, Tennessee, Dayton, Albany. So jaredfree.com for tickies. Bring the group chat. Right now, if you're on my YouTube page, I have put up a chunk of stand-up. I'm going a little different. Everyone's putting up these clips. I was like, why don't I put out a six-minute bit? So a six-minute bit is out right now. I want you to share, tag. Feather. Remember that whole meadow thing I just did a minute ago? Let's do a lot of that to my nuts. Very excited about today's guest. Today's guest, hilarious comedian. They are a writer for The Problem with Jon Stewart. Jay Jordan, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Oh my God. Listen, and if Nate Dogg would have heard you sing his version of Hoes in different area codes, he would pass away again. But I'm happy. I'm happy.
It was an homage, Jay.
It was a very late in memoriam. Man,
yes.
So I like the fact that we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, like, Hoes, different area codes, we definitely. But there are kids who are going to be like, what song is Jared referencing?
Yeah, that we are, you're younger than me, I would assume.
We don't know.
How old are you, Jay Jordan?
We don't know.
We don't know?
Let's just say I'm about to be able to say, haha, beat you, Jesus.
Okay. Well, Jesus, you're younger than me then. So listen.
Okay.
I will say this. It is a weird you do have that moment where you're like, "Oh my God, my songs are older than adults."
Yes. Yes. And our songs are being sampled. Our childhood that was already a distillation of the 70s and 80s is now being sampled.
Well, it is everything cyclical. Like right now, 90s fashion is in and 90s is very in. So it's like, it's weird because like the parents, you know, that are today's like teenage parents are now the style influence of the 20 to teenager range. It's weird. And we're that 80s, 70s, you're right, you know?
And we saw it. We saw it. I saw chokers for the first time. Tiny sunglasses for the first time. I saw belly shirts and flares for the first time. Second time, technically.
Do you remember those jeans? I remember women would wear it in middle school, the big flare jeans. And when it snowed out, they're still trying to like look good in the snow. And they would just be wet from the calf down.
And like bedraggled, and there'd just be like threads of denim. Oh, God, nasty. Yes, I remember that.
They were so gross.
Man.
Yes. Listen, I want everyone to go follow Jay. Jay is so, so funny. I love watching you on stage at the Cellar at Jay Jordan on Instagram and Twitter. Go follow immediately. They have
Even if you're evil. I accept evil followers.
Of course. We love evil people. You know, they comment and create interaction in the comments section, which actually helps the video more. It's so sad. It's actually sad. That's like that the whole lifeblood of taking off in the internet is to be controversial enough to have the dumbest person disagree with you. Do you know someone told me they were like they misspell captions on purpose? Just to get people, like, isn't that insane?
This is what happens when you incentivize chaos. People, instead of accidentally having it, they find it. You go, this is a boon. You go, actually, you're going to want this. This will benefit. So then you title something, "The Reasons I Don't Think Women Should Vote." And you're like, Jay, that's not what this clip is about. Yeah, but you clicked.
I got you in. And I got you to disagree in the comments. Jay, you're a writer for The Problem with Jon Stewart, and it's on Apple TV. I saw a Jon Stewart clip go viral the other day that actually made me feel good because it was about recycling.
Yes.
And he was saying how recycling's bullshit, and I've said that on this podcast for years now, and I had someone message me because the example I always bring up, and he brought up the smart, you know, Jon Stewart, and I'm sure writing for him is like a pleasure and a half. Like I've met him before. He's like the nicest guy in the world, and he brought up I don't know who wrote it, and if it was you, you're a fucking genius. He goes, if we cared so much about recycling, we wouldn't put it into a plastic bin.
That you want to know something? That's all John. That's all John. That's one of his bits that ended up in the show. But whenever we first started talking about it, Rob Christensen, who's a writer on the staff, he was like, we have to discuss like the performative aspect of our like recycling theater as it is, where we're like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. Then when you realize there's only 10 companies that can like upend this entire thing, you're like, oh, well then are you telling me my cold brew glass bottle, I didn't fix it? No, you didn't fix it. You can be a good person, but you didn't fix it.
That's the thing, and I've been saying it, and it made me feel good because I was like, okay, we're talking about the same things, but if you go watch the video, basically it's saying like these corporations are the ones that can, the only ones that can fix our environmental issues, and you as a person can do very little and are very helpless against it. That was the basic premise. And I always brought up the idea, I'm so mad that he had that, like, you know, I'm envious, but he's obviously a genius. But
he's,
I would always
win a Mark Twain Award in April.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll be. But yeah, I always brought up the example of Starbucks having the two holes, but they lead to the same garbage. Like the idea that like someone at Starbucks is separating those garbages. This is crazy.
But that's also like my dating history. It's like, oh yeah, girls, guys, you know what? You're both gonna be upset with me. It's fine.
So have you dated both men and women?
Yes, I've dated both men and women. I would say if I had to pick, I would choose someone with a job. And that's like a thing that I think that people don't understand about bisexuals is that we like comfort.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the whole. It makes a lot of sense. You're like, oh, we just want to be comfortable all the time. Yeah. We'll take anyone to make us comfortable.
No one chooses bisexuality to struggle more. You open up your options, not to make it harder.
So, you know, do you? So I, you know, we take a lot of dating questions here, and you'll have all the perspectives, which is great. But when do you feel the bisexual community gets a little bit, dumped on,
as it should.
So do you feel like you get like a lot of like vacation bisexuals, like they're vacationing as one? I would think that that's frustrating. It's like gluten intolerance. You're like, no, I really have a gluten intolerance.
I've said to both like waves of laughter and to like very upset Warby Parkers. Sometimes I'll make a joke. I'll be like, I'm a bisexual and I'm a boy bisexual, so it counts. And that is a rough thing to tell people because what I'm getting at is that my bisexuality has never been used to sell beer. Like, no one's ever been like, these two dudes need a kiss under the Coors Light cam. And like, it's just... So I understand the world we live in has a bunch of rules that we didn't create, that we set up. So there are some people who, like, when they get just famous enough, like, there are these, like, certain celebrities are like, maybe I'll eat some pussy. Maybe. And they'll be like, you've been married to this man for 10 years. They'll be like, but you never know. I could. Yeah. I could eat some for this role. I could eat some pussy. You never
looks
know,
good.
Girl.
It looks pretty good. I don't know. I mean, taste. Right?
I don't think they're vacationing bisexuals. I think that they're people that definitely understand that you can get on the cover of Out magazine very fast if you go, well, no, my fingernails are short. And we just will throw like anyone on there. So we're a very welcoming community, but we also should be able to laugh at the fact that we welcome a lot of people. And the fact that people treat it, they treat it kind of like a place to hold their stuff for a little bit. Like, I don't think they're vacation bisexuals. They're like placeholder bisexuals until they find their person. But I'm not going to say they're not bi enough, but I am starting to check resumes more. I'm starting to be like, okay, I don't know if you have all the prerequisites for this.
I had a guy, this just happened Sunday night. I was out having a drink and I'm sitting at the bar by myself on my phone, just relaxing. And I'm talking to two people across the bar who, like, recognize me from the Comedy Cellar. So we're talking, having a nice conversation. All of a sudden, this dude who looked like he was a frat bro finance dude. Mm-hmm. He comes in with his iPad. And somehow he becomes involved in the conversation. And I've never been more surprised just at how open he goes. Something came up about looks. I think the other guys knew that I talked about my weight on stage. And the guy goes, hold on. Like, he was drunk. He was like, you're the most good-looking guy in this bar. And I know that because I'm bi. I know. And I was like, okay, I don't think that makes you an expert on looks. But I appreciate it. And it was so interesting to me. Idiocy is looking at this guy being like, oh, he's definitely like a frat bro, whatever, you know, and he's like, I'm by. And I was like, it was so refreshing. You're like, wow, we're out here.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a turn made.
What happened is I think that a lot of people were like, oh, I can still wear my old clothes and come out of the closet. Like, I didn't have to, like, post 20, really, we were all in the house. 2020, yeah. TikTok did it. You'd see people on TikTok, and they'd be, like, super gay, but then they'd also just look like shop teachers, and you go, what? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on, man? You're gay? It'll be like, my husband of 34 years, he and I, we love woodworking. I'll be like, yeah, I bet you do. But they're just like, they're like a lot. There's so many different ways to be queer visibly and sort of like easy to identify queer people. But then also some people that are sleeper agents. I feel like we're infiltrating more places. Like
that I frat think so guy, too.
He probably also like realized he was bi because he was around so many dudes. Like when you're in like super male spaces, you start to be like, oh shit. Do I like what's going on?
What's going on with him? Oh yeah, he looked like Cousin Greg from Succession. I was like, oh yeah, what is this dude? And it's funny that you say like the minute the pandemic happens, like yeah, you don't see us in our work clothes anymore. We're in our home clothes. You know, like this is this is what I'm comfortable in. It's very interesting. So listen, I'm pumped. I'm pumped to have you here, Jay, at Jay Jordan. I want everyone to go follow. He has an album out, Jay Jordan, y'all. You can follow it on his website, jayjordan.com. But go follow at Jay Jordan on all platforms. Are you ready to do some emails?
Oh, I'm so ready. The one that we got, where we're starting, I'm very excited.
Well, that's the ending. That'll be our screenshot email. So we'll get to that. But we have some really good ones. So I like this one because it's in the general category, I would say, so it could relate to all people. Deleting Instagram pics after a breakup. J-Train, feather. I broke up with my boyfriend of 2 years recently. It was an extremely amicable split. How do you feel about removing pictures from Instagram? I think I'm worried too much about his feelings seeing that they're gone. But I also have a hard time seeing them whenever I'm on Insta. Even though I broke up with him, there are still feelings there. We just were not a long-term match. Do I tell him I'm removing them? Do I remove them at all? What are your thoughts? Jay Jordan, what do you think?
You send him the pictures. Say, I'm so happy we have these. And then you fresh slate it. You send him. He has the pictures. He can have access to those pictures if he still wants them. But if you want your Instagram to look the way... It's your Instagram. You can make that Instagram look however you want. You can't care about his feelings. Send him the pics. Like, talk. Understand. You seem that it was very amicable. If that's the case, you can still communicate. Send him your favorite pics. Say, I'm so happy we have these. You can have these. Maybe even tell them that I'm going to, like, do a bit of, like, dusting up around the old IG.
Yeah.
Because it is a life change. If he's in the grid a lot, you're going to have to take him out. I'm sorry.
And I'm with you. There's two schools of thought. There's the one where it's like someone could respond to you and say, life grid, that's your life. Why would you hide that? And it's like, yeah, but this is not, who are you beholden to?
Also, yeah, it's not a kid that passed away. No.
Yeah. And it's like, also like we're holding ourselves to a higher standard than our parents were held to. Your parents didn't have a whole, you know, picture book of their past relationships in a closet somewhere because it was their life. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, what I would also say, I love what you say, this whole idea, and the way you said this just now, to like, call him up, I'm dusting up, I'm cleaning up my life. It is this assumed, they call it in sales the assumed close, where you talk like we've already bought it before they've bought it. So you two are broken up. I do agree with you. They need to come off the feed. I think they can be archived, which is a good way of like getting rid of them and not deleting your life.
Yeah.
I do like the idea, and I think it only works within a couple weeks, 3 weeks of the breakup. Since she said it's amicable, hey, just to giving you a fair warning. Yeah. I'm cleaning up my Instagram. Here are the pictures I'm taking off. If you want them, here are screenshots of them so you have them. But I'm going to be taking them off my Instagram, just an FYI. And you can even say, this isn't personal. This is about my healing process. And she said she ended it. And I'm someone who's ended a relationship. And you do feel guilt. But like you do deserve a healing process as well.
Yeah. And no matter what, it's your Instagram. There's been this leveraging of like Instagram is for your followers, even for people who don't make money from followers, even for people who aren't public figures, even whose people, like their livelihood doesn't come from like interacting with like semi-strangers. Your friends know about the breakup. The people who you care about will know about the breakup. You care about this person, they know about the breakup. If someone says, oh, what happened to so-and-so on Instagram, block them. They're a piece of shit. But just clean it up, because you don't want to be the person that has the ghost of an ex all on your Instagram.
And listen, when I'm on dating apps and then I connect with someone, then we end up looking at their Instagram, I see that when I see the ex, I go, okay, here's when the breakup happened. Like, I don't
the forensic Jared's just like at the telescreen, he's like, as we see right here, this April seemed to be important. What was going
on? And then you see the last couple picture, you see the coming out of the relationship, you see the bikini shot.
Now that's out there. See the pendulum swing.
Yes. And then what you say, and to me, what I end up doing, you know, what you're doing for prospective daters is like, you know, you're giving them a resume that doesn't even, might not even exist there. Like, sometimes I see the guy and I go, wow, we look exactly alike. Like, and it's like,
yeah. And sometimes you're like, what the hell is Serge Ibaka doing in this picture? Wait a minute. No, KD, I can't date her.
Yeah, it's well, again, showing our age, Serge Ibaka is
they don't watch the NBA. What are you, who these kids? Who do y'all need? Does it need to be Ben Simmons? Who do you need, children?
He's at the end of his career right now. It's not.
I just thought of a man with a big dick that was tall and black. That's all I was trying to do.
Well, I think that this is a very relatable issue, and I think if you're beyond that month, give yourself, as they say, grace. Archive them. Get rid of them and don't. I don't think you need to call. I think you just do it. And here's what you mentioned something crazy. Your friends know, your family know, the people who are most important know. I have been broke. My relationship ended almost a year ago. And I posted something on, I've been posting a little bit more dating content recently because I'm taking it more seriously than maybe I was before. And so it's on my mind. That's on our mind, we're going to talk about in all joke form. And I have these people messaging me or commenting, oh, I thought you had a girlfriend. Don't you have a girlfriend? And you go, and it does anger me, like in a way, like I'm like, listen, it doesn't anger me that they don't know. It angers me that they feel they have the right to even ask me, like go behind my back. Like that normal people will go behind your back if they really care.
Normal people would take a screenshot of the post, send it to one of your friends and go, ? He's single? Since when? Done. But to be like, I'm fact checking you on your own post, Jared.
I responded to one of them. I wrote, oh, I'm sorry I didn't call you with my life update, because I don't know them. And it's like, I don't mean to sound miserable, but I'm like, you have to be fucked with at that point, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, to accuse. Yeah, this is how I'm cheating on my girlfriend. Are you kidding? Like,
And I will not defend these people because are doing is an invasion of privacy. But there is a long and storied tradition of comedians doing well on social media, but having like a full-on 3-month pregnant baby mama, and you're like, oh, okay.
This is
we fair. I know three stories where I'm like, oh, that's a baby.
No, this is fair. There are comedians, like, you ever open for someone who's been doing the same act for like 30 years, and they're like, and when the baby came, and you go, and then they later in the set they're like, and now they're 15, and you go, what the fuck happened? The baby grew up during the set, you know, like, so I do have empathy for that. I think it's the way it's asked is like, don't you have a girlfriend is different than like, hey, I remember you had a girlfriend. I guess I, you know, like both are crazy, but one's less crazy to me. Like the accusatory nature of like, oh, look at you. But I do understand where it's like, are you trying to like do like a version of, are you doing single face instead of blackface? Like, are you faking as a face? Like, are you trying to say you're in this world, but you're not? I can understand that.
That recently happened with someone special where they talked about all their dating stuff, but they've had a boyfriend for over a year because the act was created when they were single and coming off of a breakup, and they have since been with the guy. So there was like a caveat about getting back into it. I think it's like a very, it's like a fun date. But single face is the best way to play that because it's the comics that are like, who's out there on the apps? Who's out there on the apps? Am I? I was on the apps. Not anymore. Anyway, enough about that. So when I was,
then they talk shit on this like phantom person that they don't even really care. Yeah, I actually had when my relationship ended, I had all these. I had about like 6 minutes of like relationship living together jokes, and then I tried talking about them on stage, and like I felt off. Like I was like, and then I tried talking about him in a way where it was like, I was like, I'm bad at communication. Here's an example. And I was like, I just felt like I was like, I don't know. It didn't feel like something I even cared about anymore. Like I, you know?
Yeah. And I also think that like, there's a way Zach, as you know, our friend is like figuring out how to talk about like a non-serious relationship breakup on stage where like you still want the audience to be on your side but also realize it was like silly but also like be able to talk about it and what's the shelf life of this, because there have been moments where people get into my personal life. Like I posted a picture with my boyfriend and someone was like, was this a soft boyfriend launch? And I was like, we live together. You just didn't know.
Don't act like you've been here before. Like you just got here.
It wasn't me being like this one and just the silhouette of a man. No, it was like a full on face inside my house.
Yeah. The J-Train Podcast is brought to you by Caliper. Everything from chapstick to bed sheets have their own personal flavor today. If you're tired of everything having a great new flavor, including your CBD products, it's time to try Caliper's dissolvable CBD powder. No flavor, but plenty potent. I love Caliper. I have it. I use it. It comes in great little packets. You can put it in your coffee. Don't taste it. You put it in your water. Don't taste it. And honestly, the hardest part about a lot of these CBD products is, you know, you're sitting there trying to measure out stuff. It's measured for you. It comes in a packet. It's ready to go. Caliper's CBD powder acts fast, like really fast, like 30 times faster than CBD oil fast. Get the benefits of CBD in just 10 minutes. Caliper is the only clinically proven CBD brand on the market. And because it's a dissolvable powder instead of an oil, it mixes completely into any food or drink with no grassy taste or oily residue. No more guessing how much CBD you're taking. Their easy-to-use packets have exactly 20 milligrams each. No filler, chemicals, or artificial flavors, and always 0% THC. Get flavorless with Caliper CBD. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code JTRAIN at trycaliper.com/JTRAIN. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, they'll give you a full refund. That's trycaliper.com/JTRAIN. Don't forget promo code JTRAIN for 20% off your first order. The J-Train Podcast is brought to you by Noom. When making choices about your personal health journey, it's natural to feel scared that you won't make the right choice. Noom, I understand that completely. It gets paralyzing. Am I doing this right? Is what I am doing worth it for my health to get the results that I want to get? Noom understands there are no right or wrong choices. That's something I've kind of had to learn. Just the one that works for you. Noom's psychological approach to healthy living means you'll learn about your habits and how to make positive choices to get you where you want to be. I'm telling you, Noom is so on the money with this. It is not, you know, they go diet and exercise. No, it's a mental journey. It is coming to grips with, you know, where you're good at this stuff and where you're bad at this stuff. For me, it's just mindless eating. And Noom helps me, especially that calorie tracker. It helps you come into touch with what you're putting in your body. Noom's psychologically based approach helps you change the way you think about food and health instead of demanding you change your lifestyle. You decide how Noom weight fits into your life, not the other way around. 75% of Noom users finish the program. Can you understand how crazy that is? That's for a health programmed to have 75% of people finish it is crazy. With Noom, taking care of your health is empowering instead of stress-inducing, so there's no need to fear ruining the whole program with one off day. Noom will help you get back on track 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. How much time you want to spend on the app is up to you. Start building better habits today. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/JTrain. That's Noom.com/JTrain to sign up for your trial. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, here with Jay Jordan, @JayJordan. Go follow. So funny, hilarious. You're going to love the album, Jay Jordan, y'all. Can't get over my situationship, even though I'm over him. Jared, okay. Feather, and all that. You're amazing, love the pod. So, trying to keep this to an index finger to thumb length. So I have a rule here. I want the story to be... Take your thumb and your index finger and make a corner of a box, and that's how long the email should be.
Okay, smart. So I like that you set parameters. That's like a good teacher. Like, yes. Because then the class knows when they're like not meeting the rubric. They go, okay. Right?
This is, you know, and listen, some people go, like, this is longer than that, but this is actually good. Like, this, I like this length. I had a 5-month thing with a guy I met on Hinge, May through September 2021. As context, he's 27, I'm 26, both living in NYC. Around mid-June, we said we were exclusive, but not gonna label it. Fine with me. Then end of September, I asked what was going on with us, and he said he couldn't see it going any further romantically and wanted to end it now before it got more serious so we could still be friends. I was really fine with this. I've seen him a few times since it ended. Some planned, once ran into him and his friends at a bar. We hung out for a bit. In seeing him in person, I am definitely over him romantically, but I am consistently thinking of our time together. Maybe it sounds like I'm not over him, but I have felt nothing romantic when I've seen him since it ended. I've gone on a good amount of Hinge dates since. One guy I was into, but after a few dates, sleepovers, he ghosted me. LOL, that's a whole nother email. But living in NYC, walking a lot, I feel like I'm always reminded of our time and miss it. How do I get over the situationship when I'm already over him? Maybe I'm just thinking highly of it because it was over the summer and summer is always fun. And he also had a great friend group and it was always so fun being with them. Also should be noted, this was my longest relationship. LOL, embarrassing as I'm 26 years old, but whatever. I don't think that's embarrassing. Any tips to get over the relationship when you're already over him? Please help, over him, but not it. What do you think?
Intimacy. What you're craving is intimacy and experiences and the comfort level of being in New York City doing things with someone that you know and you like and that's reliable. So her saying that she's over the guy, but not over the longing for like feeling a relationship and she wants to walk through the city and go do things with the person that she like feels very comfortable and attracted with. Because there were a bunch of like kind of like stutter steps at the beginning.
Yes, yes. Because
she said, oh, we're going to be exclusive but not label it. And I was like, well, you did. Exclusivity, sexual exclusivity is, because it's the condom, birth control. It's a number. There are a number of things why people do it. People like, yes. you just like, oh, I don't want to have to like always go to the doctor because like we say we like each other, but they don't like. I know why people do it, but that exclusivity is a label.
Yeah, I always think the exclusive but not in a relationship is a pre-breakup. They're basically telling you, yeah, they're letting you know we will break up, just not yet. Because they don't want to, they're basically saying, how do I soften the blow of a breakup that's going to happen? So I'll live in this like weird contractual limbo that is, I'm being good to you, but there's another level to get to.
Wow.
Very, very rare that the exclusive but not relationship becomes a relationship. This is my opinion.
No, but that is very informative. Because then yes. 4 months later, June, July, August, September, out. I think you're also missing summer. You just named the best time of the year to do things outside with hot people and then have sex. You understand how fun summer is? Summer is so fun, you can walk the dog in the sex clothes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm with you. And I think what you said in the beginning was so spot on. The intimacy. Like it is, because I was reading this thing thinking to myself like, well, what does she miss? Like, she's basically saying, I'm not affected emotionally. I can be around him. But what is it about it? And you said something at the end of what you were talking about with reliability. It's fucking someone you trust is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be in a friends with benefits situation. That could be in whatever label you want to give it. But fucking someone you trust and feel comfortable with is just a fun, good feeling.
You can laugh. You can scream loud.
And there's no expectations. And you are living and that doesn't last forever. I think that's what he basically was saying is like the fun fucking is over. You ask what we're doing, and I don't want more than this. So you're looking for a zone of a relationship that is actually the most fun zone of a relationship. Right?
That is a perfect description of it. You want to have a reliable fuck buddy and go to events in the best city in the world in the summertime.
Yeah.
Girl, don't we all? Don't everybody want that? I'm just saying. Yeah.
And this should make her feel better, I think, just hearing people like kind of air out what she's talking about. I would also say to her, like, she mentioned one thing that I wanted to get your opinion on. She mentions liking the friend group.
Ooh.
Could she like be, you know, I'm not of the belief that you can't be friends with an ex. This sounds like a situation that maybe like hanging out and hanging with this group might not be the worst idea. You know, if you can definitively say this is over, and that's very rare, but this sounds like it might be that rare occurrence.
And the best way to do that is to make sure that you and him are just friends. So one of y'all, I don't believe this is the hard and fast rule, but generally, one of y'all needs to get a partner and come to the friend group events with the new person. So the friend group goes, oh, they used to date, but they're with that person now.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. Our table's ready, everyone. Come on, let's go.
It's the true test of whether you can handle it. I think if she says, you know, maybe even like responding to an Instagram story, hey, it's been so long. I loved hanging out with you guys. If you're down for a cup of coffee sometime, let's catch up. And then in that catch up, you like maybe let him know like, hey, you know, New York City's lonely. I'm 26. I'm all, you know, and listen, the other day I had someone on Hinge message me. They were like, hey, I don't want to be, I know we're not a match, but I think if you want a drinking buddy, I'm down. And it's like, no. That's not why I'm on fucking Hinge for a drinking buddy. Like I
yeah. It, also,
this is very different than that.
But that also, as a bisexual filter. I was like, don't. That's you're still trying to start something. What's going on?
Well, that's my male filter would go. You know, I see that as like beware, beware, beware. You know, because if it is that with their way of trying to fuck and like have a casual sexual relationship, they've really put me in an unfair position because I can't take that chance. Like I can't go. I would be you would look like the creepiest guy in the world if they're like, if you're ever looking for a drinking buddy and you're like, sure, of course, right? I like a drinking buddy. You know, I can't do that.
let's make
like what?
That is scary. Yes,
I can't do that. So I have to always assume if you say friend, I'm gonna go friend. If you say drinking buddy, I'm gonna go buddy. If you say hey, I'm down for like a night out and like you know, let's see what happens. Then I go okay. This is kind of this is something that can be informed on the date if we match.
And this is something generationally that we course corrected with boys. Because if we were 10 years older, we would have been like, oh, okay, any message. I know what this means. But we learned. In the early 2000s, we learned. We can be friends. We can chill out. But friends is a word where this is a platonic non-sexual friendship. We're chilling. But any sort of game, like don't bring that into the DMs.
Not in 2022. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Jay Jordan @JJordan. Go follow immediately. JTrain Pod submission. Okay.
This is double JTrain Pod.
I mean, this one's too long.
Is she okay, here?
This one too. I mean, like they didn't abide by the rule. Let's do this one. Wedding guest awkwardness.
Oh, I love a wedding.
Okay. Jared, love all the podcasts. I got married in 2017. My husband ghosted me 6 months later. Whoa. Turned out he had a secret girlfriend the whole time. Whoa. Fast forward to now. I've worked really hard at healing. I'm so sorry. At healing from the trauma, and I'm happily engaged and getting married later this summer. Well, good for you. It has a happy ending. The problem is one of our mutual friends is getting married in a couple months, and they gave me a year in advance warning that my ex and the girl he ghosted me for will be invited. So their mutual friends is getting married a couple months and gave, oh wow, and gave me, so the warning is out there. The ex will be at this wedding. Their wedding is going to be very small, maybe 50 people. Oh, that doesn't help at all. Of course, I played it cool, but the closer it gets to the wedding, I'm starting to low-key freak out. I've successfully avoided bumping into my ex for 4 years, including moving into a different town and starting over with mostly new friends. I'm nervous to see him, not because I have any feelings or love towards him at all, but because seeing him is just going to be a reminder of all the emotional trauma he put me through. Plus, this will be also be the first time I will be seeing the girl he left me for face to face. Thankfully, my fiance will be there with me along with a handful of other good friends, but I'm starting to wonder how I can play cool the entire time without acting awkward and still enjoying the day. Thanks for reading. Jay Jordan, this person needs our help. This is a very tough situation.
We're talking three different marriages. The initial marriage, have a new fiance, and the secret family that was there the whole time.
Yeah.
This,
well, four marriages. The original.
And the new wedding.
And the wedding they're going to.
Wow. I do not envy you. I want to stress how strong you are. Much stronger than me. Mm. I thought this was going to be fun. Like, oh, can you invite like all hookups to a wedding? This just, no. I was going to, because in queer communities, like when me and my boyfriend get married, it's going to be like two different sides. And not like my family and his family, like my old hookups and his old hookups. And then a third section for the threesomes and the group stuff. But with this,
everyone's like recognizing each other, like, oh my God, I remember you.
Just a lot of people like, Jose.
Yeah.
Jose.
Oh my God. Oh, you had one ball.
Yeah. Turn around. Dennis. Oh my goodness. No, I think you don't have to go to this wedding if you don't want to. The amount of emotional trauma that you're discussing is like movie level. It is terrible. People don't recover from that kind of stuff. People have done worse for a lot less to men. So you don't have to go to this small 50-person wedding if you don't want to. You do not have to go.
I think that's great for her to hear because you don't have to go. That is totally an option and not like a... That's not an option to be embarrassed about. I get it. Like, especially considering, like, we don't know the story, okay? The story she told, she reduced to one sentence. And we only know words that we have defined for ourselves. So she says, "And I got married in 2017. My husband ghosted me 6 months later." Like, that is... We're assuming the worst when we hear that story. And we're hearing it, and she's saying... I believe her. So we don't know... His side, and there's three sides to every story: hers, his, and the truth, with somewhere in between. But I would assume hers is closer to the truth than his in this scenario.
Yeah, because that's the thing. The word ex has become very casual for everyone discussing dating. But this is an ex-husband. Mm. This is an ex-husband a marriage in 6 months.
Whether he ghosted or didn't ghost, I mean, that's irrelevant. He has a secret girlfriend the whole time. That's hard to like define otherwise. So
yeah,
and now he's still with her. So which, if I'm gonna like give her some like some truths that might be make her feel better, but probably won't. You'd rather have it. It's not like he was just fucking around willy nilly.
True.
Maybe at least he's still. This is like the worst consolation prize ever. It's like he fell in love. You know, like.
Yeah, he was a good old fashioned two woman man. You know, like our granddads. Just one woman in the same neighborhood because we didn't have Google back then. You know, just the kind of mid-century cheating, good classic American cheating, back when we had pensions and union jobs.
This is Don Draper cheating, and I love it. Yeah, just it's almost it's so sweet.
But also, was she? We don't get any of this. Are you 100% certain that you were first?
We don't know. I mean, listen, someone asked me last night if I had ever been cheated on, and I was like, I don't know. How would I know?
Which is the best feeling? Yeah. I only fuck with smart women, so I'll never know.
Yeah.
I like crafty women.
That's what I like. So I would say to her, so first, we start at you don't have to go. Don't feel bad pulling that lever in case of emergency. You don't have to be strong in this scenario.
Also, your fiance don't have to... If this dude does anything close to disrespectful, it could just be like moving a chair. Your fiance has to fight him. Don't put your fiance in this situation. Your fiance has to fight this man. It is honorable, and people will cheer. So, can your fiance fight?
It's got to defend your honor. So, I would also say, the problem is she was ghosted. Yes. So she never got a breakup. And then in addition to not getting a breakup, her email tells the whole story. She says she moves to a different town. She finds new friends. You know, like that is so difficult. She basically left the town like she was a sniper on the run.
Yeah, and she got to have the town.
He got to have the town. He got to have the friends. And then, so I think like there is another option where this becomes the best decision you've ever made. And I'm not going to tell you to do this because it's way harder than it is for me to. Again, one of the options is not going, and let's just not do this. The other option is you go to the wedding. You go directly up to him. You pull him aside. You say, hey, this is really awkward for me. I'm letting you know that right now. I don't hate you. I don't miss you. I'm disappointed with how everything went down. I'm letting you know that, you know, that I'm just acknowledging you, saying hi and getting this out of the way because of how uncomfortable this is for me. I don't know how you feel, but, you know, I still hold on to a lot of the stuff that went on. You get it done right away. Walk through the awkward and it'll, your heart will be racing. You'll be dreading it the night before. But the minute you do that, I do believe you will feel better. And I do think, and I don't want to assume, because I mean, the guy who ghosted you in 2017, I would hope he has grown and feels guilty about this ever since. I would hope he would say, you know what? I've thought a lot about this. I think about it every day. I'm happy we got to talk tonight. You know, like there is a classy ending to your story that could happen then that won't be chasing you the rest of your life. You even say in her email, she even says that she's avoided. She writes, I have successfully avoided bumping into my ex for 4 years. He's living in your head rent free.
Yeah. Yeah. And when when you have that moment with him, if you choose to have it and you make it very direct, you make it very intentional, you make it very truthful, then that's the kind of moment that studio audiences clap for. They go, okay. That's why we watched all the way to mid-season. We knew this was coming. was coming in the preview.
We want you to be the hero. And we want you to get... And closure isn't him explaining himself.
Oh,
closure
No.
Closure is you ending this chapter and going, I saw his face. I was good. I felt good afterwards. I could go dance afterwards. And I could go live. And finally... You know, it's like in the movie Ghost, when the ghosts fly out of the person. Like, you know, your soul should be set free. So I do think, and if this all sounds crazy to you, then maybe not going is the option. But I do think this could end up being a win. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Chime. Kick off spring with a better checking account with no monthly fees. Chime, an award-winning app and debit card, has no overdraft fees, foreign transaction fees, monthly fees, or service fees. With over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs at many locations, like most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, CVS, you can access your money when you need it, where you need it. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime, fee-free for you and no cash-out fees for them. People, this is if you're paying fees at the ATM and that's a part of your life, Chime can be a place to help you out. Make your first good choice of 2022 and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/jtrain. That's chime.com/jtrain. Now the stuff the lawyers make me say. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawals fees may apply. Sometimes pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. Chime, a new way to build credit. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Jay Jordan at Jay Jordan. JayJordan.com for all tour dates. Go, go, go. So funny. Okay. Let's do this one. Is 9 year age gap too much in your 20s?
Is that just, that's all of it?
That's not all of it. J Train, feather, feather, huge fan. I've been talking to a girl for about 4 to 5 months. I'm 29. She's 21. This is from a guy. We used to work together, and then we both left the job and reconnected on Insta a year or so later. We always had flirty banter and decided to try it out. Went out for dinner, went to Manhattan to see the tree, and actually saw you live for the big date 3. Your opener picked us out of the crowd and asked questions about a relationship, which is when it came out to me and the rest of the audience that we're nothing official and not a couple. It opened up the conversation with us a few days later, and she said that one of the only reasons we're not is that our age gap is really weird, and I'm not sure how that can work. Later in a group, she said, I mean, I never said never. I definitely like him. We still flirt and talk and stuff, but I'm not putting in the effort I was because I'm not sure I should. Can you make an age gap like this work? Pick attached. Not sure if you remember us. We were the last ones there. So now he sent a pic of us at the show.
All right.
And they're a very cute couple, but what do you think? She's the one saying it, and she's, you know, I think that's, this is interesting. What do you think?
I don't like the ageism continuing to start earlier and earlier. You're a 29-year-old dude. 21, that's a conversation for it. If she's a cool 21-year-old that, like, is okay with bars and okay with, like, drinking culture and y'all want to go on dates and you're not selling and you're not saying, oh, this is the person I'm going to marry, like, we're not selling down, that's fine. I think that all of the noise got in both of y'all's heads, so now you're saying you're not trying anymore. You're saying, can a 9-year age gap work, which is very considerate. It's the most considerate thing a straight man has ever said to anyone else. Like, that, we're going from, like, loincloths and the unga bunga to, yeah, I don't know, am I grooming? You're not grooming. I have no degree, but what I think it is, you're like, oh, okay, like, is this even worth it? And the fact that you called it off so quickly, maybe that's information that tells you, okay, maybe you want to date someone else.
Yeah, I'm not in the camp of saying anything is too, you know, within, of course, it's got to be within the laws of you know, of the country.
Of your state.
Your state. Whatever, you know, I'm talking, I wouldn't want to date, at 29, I wouldn't want to date someone who's 21. I just don't, that's not for me.
Your lives are in four different places. Not two, four different places.
Could not agree more. And I think he's finding that out right now. I think, and she's saying it to him. You know, lots of times it's usually a 21-year-old woman writing in being like, can I date a 30-year-old guy? And I can only assume that the 30-year-old guy is a somewhat predatory because he's like, oh, I'm taking advantage of this person who is looking for stability, who's looking for reliability, and you're not going to find that from a 21-year-old dude.
Yeah, and but little does that 30-year-old know that now the 21-year-old girls are pegging, so he actually needs to be ready. He needs to be ready.
He's got to be ready for it. He's got to be ready. He's got to... You got to start with a pinky. He's got to go move his way up. So, but I would say to this person, because it's reversed and she's saying it to you, I think she's noticing like you're looking for more stability, more, you know, adult things than maybe she's looking for. And that's why it doesn't seem like a match to me. I think she's warning you. This is her version of a pre-breakup. When she says, I don't think it could work, that's her like basically convincing herself like, hey, I want other things and this was fun, but it's not really what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I never said never is the softest way to not hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah, I agree.
And I never said never.
And I think also that for this guy, like, you know, it's he has to look in the mirror and go, oh, I am looking for something a 29-year-old wants, not a 21-year-old. And this is part of growing up for the guy. Like, you know, the guy, he's like, she's 21, it's hot, she's, there's no rush, there's no pressure to like get in a relationship. She likes to go out and drink and doesn't care if I don't call on a weekend. It's like, maybe you do care more about having that someone that wants those things.
Yeah. Do you want to start to be the wet blanket for this 21-year-old's experience?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the parent. JTrain Podcast at gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Okay, Jay, you ready? Let's do this email. We got one more. It's a screenshot email.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready?
Ooh, I'll read yes.
I'll read the email first. Can you be friends with someone you've hooked up with? Okay, Jared and Guest. I just started listening to your podcast, found you on IG. Love your simple advice. I have been hooking up with someone I met in high school. I'm female, 27. He's 26, male. Same grade level, I was just born in the earlier months. To be clear, I do not want a relationship as I am aromantic and do not feel romantic attraction. We started hooking up a few years ago, on and off. We broke it off because I started to get tired of the hookup. I wasn't finding the sex very good and I was hooking up with someone else who was better in my opinion. It was early 20s. Anyways, during our time not talking, I moved from my hometown into one over an hour away. A few months ago, mid-pandemic, we began talking again. He tells me he has a girlfriend now. I am not the cheating type, but he told me he wanted to have an open relationship where he is open and his girlfriend is not, something I disagree with. Even though he said she agrees with it, I doubted it. So I told him a thing between us would not be happening. He says he wants to be friends, attaching screenshots of our conversations. My stance is we are not friends and have never been friends, considering the only time we hang out or talk is to have sex. I am fully able to separate the two, but most people cannot, in my opinion. I would agree with them. Okay. My question is, can you actually be friends with a hookup, or is that a fantasy we tell to keep someone on simmer? So let's go to the text.
The texts are very telling. This.
Yes. Let's go to the text. You be him, I'll be her.
All right. Okay. We're in it. All right. Okay.
Number one.
Are you ready? So, and action. I miss you so much. I hope you're doing amazing. Green heart, kissy face, wink emoji.
Aw, thanks. Hope you're doing great too. Blushing face emoji.
That's very
telling. Right off the bat, that's very telling. When I miss you so much too. Thanks. Hope you're doing great. He should be running away at this point.
He didn't get a kiss back. He just got the thanks. And that was, then he sends another one. I know you don't like this. Exclamation point. Man, I know you don't like this. Then don't do it. I know you don't like this, but I really do love you.
And then she writes back, LOL, it's fine.
No! And then he says, thanks, exclamation, exclamation. Kind of old school hieroglyphic emoji with just the colon, right parentheses close. But she hearted it.
She hearts it.
And then a heart. It was supposed to be the end. He took that as like another like volley back to him and responded, how have you been? How are the animals? Things she can't heart. Things she has to answer. How have you been? How are the animals? And has work been fulfilling? No crazy people, hopefully. And then continues, did you shoot your Glock yet? Ugh. Now...
Okay.
Man, you threw in four details that you knew she would have to like respond to. She can't just heart. Like, it's not just like, hope you're good. All right, peace out.
Yeah.
And then, you have restricted blank.
So, okay. Hold on.
And then he sends a picture.
And then she writes... Ah, that's why, LOL, you sent it.
Yeah, and it's like, and then he says, shaking my head, ha. Ugh,
I forget you can unsend on IG, but they still get the notifications.
Okay, and so this is the reason why we're talking about this kind of in a roundabout way is because we finally get this. We get true in regards to like, he unsent the picture and she got the notification. Did you like it? Thumbs up. LOL sends another picture that then she does not heart, that she does not say thank you for.
Nothing. And she's just agreeable. She writes, I mean, yeah, I've always liked your body.
Now, the reason that message is so important, we didn't know what these were pictures of. We could have assumed the worst, but we gave him the benefit of the doubt. But now we know these were pictures of him in some various state of undress.
And then she writes, the real question is, why send if you're gonna unsend?
And she, so then he
she's
says,
ask, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, right?
She's you asking questions it, she knows the answers to. You know, she's not at fault because he keeps coming, because he's choosing not to read between the lines, but she is now ignoring him, ignoring reading between the lines. It goes both ways. So go ahead. He writes.
So this continues, and then he says, you didn't see it, though. I thought you left.
Left?
The conversation, like you went and left.
LMAO, I would actually do that too. Laughing face emoji.
He hearts that. She's saying she would leave. She would leave the conversation if it got uncomfortable.
But she's kind of bathing in it a little bit right now.
Yeah. And then, man, he sends another picture. Mm-hmm. You cannot be down 0-3 when it comes to sending pictures. You can't.
No, you're about to get
swept. No, no reciprocation.
Nothing. So,
what's going on?
So he writes,
we had some fun under the picture.
Under the picture, and she writes, yeah, it was fun, period. No exclamation point, no nothing. And then she writes, you're doing a lot of flirty lately. What's up?
I guess he's like surprised that this is flirty. Mm. Nothing. Sorry if it's making you uncomfortable, but it's just hard for me. I'm doing my best here. It was just difficult for me. I want to spend time with you, but you know how I am, and I wouldn't be respecting you, my girl, or myself because I don't think I can act appropriately in person with you. That's why I've been distant, but also kind of flirty over the phone because I do miss you, and you do mean a great deal to me. I just need to find balance.
She writes, I said my stance on this, but pro tip, sending sexual pics equals inappropriate. Including but not limited to body pics, dick pics, and titty pics. Okay. What do you think of this? She writes in her email, she writes, my question is, can you actually be friends with a hookup, or is that a fantasy we tell to keep someone on simmer? What do you think of this situation?
Y'all aren't even friends. Y'all aren't friends. You don't even have to ask us this.
But she's also a part of this.
Yes.
She needs to admit the idea that he sends three, just like you said, it's 03. He sends three different pictures. At no point does she block, does she unsubscribe, does she say to him, hey, we are now beyond the realms of where we should be. And then she gives these rules at the end, like, I'll still talk, but hey, here are the rules. And it's like, I'm not saying he's acting right. I'm saying he's ignoring your, and then you're ignoring him ignoring. So someone, I you know, the original question, can you be friends with a hookup? Yes, you can. Not in this scenario.
No.
He is telling you he has no ability to do that. And you have an ability, as you said in your email, to remove sex and relationships, and you are not his friend. So it's time to leave this and block him.
Yes.
It's time to be done with this. Because at a certain point, you are kind of leading him on.
And not even leading him on, you're just not course correcting. You have to, you're not doing a good job of training your dragon. You have to let him know that if these are the actions he's gonna take, sending inappropriate pictures, you need to say, hey, don't send me those. Or you need to say, hey, let's not do this. Like, any sort of like actual barrier to that, or any sort of indication that this behavior is inappropriate, other than like a final like, hey, pro tip. Like, yeah, you kinda need to be like, don't, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I totally agree. And it's like, and then you have to say to yourself, what am I getting out of this interaction?
Yes.
And it seems you're getting literally nothing except the little red dot in the corner of your Instagram that makes you feel loved, that makes you feel wanted. So let's look in the mirror for half a second. I'm not saying it's all your fault. I'm not blaming. I'm saying it's time to put this away and remove it from your life, because it's not really helping anyone involved.
Yeah, the comfort level, and it was kind of talked about in the body of the email. You were hooking up with him, the sex was okay. Then you were hooking up with someone else, and the sex was better. But you were okay with the okay sex, but you liked the better sex. You have full agency to say, I don't like this. I remove myself from this. Him and his feelings being hurt are not more important than you and your phone. Like, he does not have the right to be in your phone.
No, and here's the other thing. The person that cares the least has the most responsibility to remove themselves from the situation. And you care the least. So you need to remove yourself, because you are a certain type of drug to him, and you keep serving it even though you know it's not good for him or yourself, right?
Yes. Yes, and that, like, I don't know where it ties in the ego, but it is fun a little bit to be like, oh, I get this little play thing that I can make do whatever I want. If that's the case, make him a cash pig. Make him send some money. If he's going to be doing shit like this, make him send some money.
Get him on OnlyFans. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Jay Jordan, thank you so much for coming on. Such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone go follow Jay at Jay Jordan on Instagram, jjordan.com. That's the website. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday. Keep sending your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Back next episode. Boom.